welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
When the slave traders brought the Africans to the shores of this country, the church should have said, you can't do that here. We won't allow that here. Because these are fellow image bearers. But sadly, a lot of people in the church didn't say that. They said, we need the labor. And so they compromised on this.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his series, The Story of God. Hey, join us as Pastor Brian resumes his teaching. We're in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verses 26 through 27, in a message titled, The Imago Dei. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
Now, Dawkins is a biologist, so I find it hard to believe that he actually, he certainly couldn't think this is true, because a fetus is a human, a pig is not a human, but this is just the rhetoric. This is just where he's going to go in his passion over these issues. He's going to make a nonsensical statement like that. So Singer, Dawkins, and thinkers like them, this is where all of this leads. They are now justifying abortion, infanticide, which is the killing of small children, infants, and euthanasia. So now this, the people who think this way are now justifying these things, because what they're saying now is that there's no intrinsic value in just simply being human. That's a medieval idea, Singer says, meaning that's an idea that's based on revelation, meaning that's an idea that comes from the Bible. But reason, he says, would tell us that that isn't true. So reason tells us now, according to these guys, that your value isn't tied up in just your humanity, but now value is being tied to personhood. But you see, you have to qualify to be a person. What is personhood? So according to this sort of thinking, a fetus is not a person. So a fetus doesn't qualify for rights. And we've heard our own politicians say these types of things. But it goes a step further. A newborn is not a person. This is how you justify infanticide. Well, a newborn, it's not really a person. Their brains have not developed in any way, shape, or form. They don't really know anything. They don't have a personality and all of that. So they do not qualify for personhood. But neither do mentally handicapped children or adults, because their development into personhood is stunted. And so in the end, they don't really qualify. A depressed teenager or young adult is not necessarily a person. And those who are not persons are not fit to live. That's the conclusion that we come to. And listen, this is becoming more and more the popular idea in culture, and ironically in Western culture. You look at certain European countries and you see the implementation of new forms of euthanasia, even suggesting to euthanize children. There was a situation in Canada not too long ago where there was a person, you know, they have national health care in Canada. And so you have to go through a process of making an appointment, eventually getting to a doctor. And if you need treatment beyond that, you go through this long process. Well, you know, so this person sent in their request for whatever the case might have been, and they got a response back of different options that this person might choose to go forward on. And one of the options was euthanasia. Well, if you'd like, we'll just help you kill yourself, and that'll solve your problems. I read just a little over a week ago, a 26-year-old girl, and I'm pretty sure this is Canada as well, she had 2 weeks until her her appointment with death. She decided that because she just can't really find happiness and peace in life, that it's not worth living, it's time to check out, and the government says, okay, great, we will help you. These are the kinds of things that follow on the heels of the philosophies that reject the biblical picture of humanity. And so this is where you go when you reject God's word about reality. As Peter Singer said, life being sacred is medieval. He said, we choose reason over revelation. And here's the truth. Reason has proven to always find a reason to oppress, exploit, and even eliminate others. That's where reason leads. You know, the Enlightenment was all about reason. We're going to get rid of the past. We're going to get rid of all of this stuff that's based on revelation, religion, and we're going to just depend on the mind of man. Think of the world since the Enlightenment. Think of where that has led us. Think of the French Revolution. Think of the Bolshevik Revolution. Think of the wars, the world wars of the 20th century. I mean, you know, these are the byproduct of reason apart from revelation, because human beings are expendable under this way of thinking. Russell Moore, in his book Onward, he wrote, "The spirit of every age seeks to define human worth in terms of power and usefulness, while the gospel of the kingdom defines human dignity in strikingly different terms, as Christ himself identifies himself not with the powerful, but with the vulnerable." So Jesus comes and he identifies with the vulnerable. A friend of mine told me after the teaching this morning, she said that she's an educator, and she told me that years ago she had to read this book, and the title of the book was, oh, I forget. Because the title kind of explains the book. But the idea behind the book was that there were people that shouldn't be allowed to eat because they're not productive to society. So in other words, they ought to just be starved to death. And so this is, as I said, this is where this kind of thing leads. Now, every human being, according to the biblical understanding of the Imago Dei, created in God's image, every human being should be treated with dignity and respect. That's where the Bible will lead you. Now, honestly, we have to admit that people who have claimed to believe the Bible haven't always put this into practice. And that's quite tragic and unfortunate. Because if there's anyone who should know better, it should be those of us who believe in Scripture and, of course, who have believed in Christ. But this idea that human beings should be treated with dignity and respect, this is a huge idea to get a hold of. If we get this, then racism, classism, sexism, exploitation, and a whole lot of other harmful attitudes and behaviors, they just disappear. So if this understanding was prevalent in the church could radically exemplify to the world how things are supposed to be. But again, sadly, it hasn't always been the case. Author and executive director of the Equal Justice Initiative, Brian Stevenson, Brian Stevenson is also an attorney. He wrote the book called Just Mercy, which was turned into a film, which is well worth seeing. He said this, and he's speaking, you know, he's dealing with racism in the culture still today. But he goes back and he says, the great evil of American slavery wasn't the involuntary servitude. It was the fiction that black people aren't as good as white people and aren't the equals of white people and are less evolved, less human, less capable, less worthy, less deserving than white people. Now, here's the real tragic thing. The church bought into this. If the church in the early American experience would have taken the scriptures to heart, especially what we're talking about here, the Imago Dei, it never would have been complicit in the slave trade, and we would not be living with the repercussions of hundreds of years of racism today. These things are consequences of rejecting what God has said. When the slave traders brought the Africans to the shores of this country, the church should have said, you can't do that here. We won't allow that here. Because these are fellow image bearers. But sadly, a lot of people in the church didn't say that. They said, we need the labor. And so they compromised on this. So you see how profound and significant this doctrine is, the doctrine of the Imago Dei. Now, it also has implications that I think are a little lighter and yet things that we need to be reminded of. When we understand that all people are created in God's image, it enables us to rejoice in and enjoy culture, the things that people have made, whether sinner or saint. We recognize that even sinners can create some really amazing things because we're all made in the image of God. And you see, sometimes Christians have missed out, and some Christians still miss out, on many of the beauties and joys of life because they fail to recognize that the artists or writers or poets or musicians or filmmakers or actors, whether sinners or saints, they're actually, through what they are producing, they are actually manifesting this truth of the Imago Dei. They're showing, even though they don't know it, they're showing that gift of creativity that has been given to them from the Creator. And as God's people, we should not be restricted in our minds or fearful of enjoying those things that are not sinful. They just fall into, in some people's minds, they fall into the secular category because, oh, they weren't produced by the church. But it's okay. But they were produced by humans. And guess what? Humans were made in God's image. So we can rejoice in that. And things like music and things like literature and things like film, you know, we all enjoy that. Maybe you feel guilty for enjoying it because you're like, this isn't really a Christian song, but I really like it. Sorry, God. No need to apologize. God's like, isn't that amazing? That, you know, yeah, creativity. I put that in those people. He did. That's what he did. For our enjoyment. Did you know that the Apostle Paul, who some people think is the biggest like killjoy that ever lived, this could be nothing further from the truth. But the Apostle Paul, do you know what he said? He said that God has given us richly all things to enjoy. God wants us to enjoy the world that he created and the things that his image bearers create in the world. So every morning when I go out to my car and I turn my car on, automatically on my music player, whatever it is today, the Beatles song, Here Comes the Sun, comes on. And it comes on because my grandson, Hudson, who is just a muso at almost 13 years old, every time I drive with Hudson, he says, Grandpa, let me have your phone. Takes my phone and then he programs all kinds of music in it. And, you know, we listen to it. But somehow, it always defaults to Here Comes the Sun. I love that song, Here Comes the Sun. And you know what? It's perfect first thing in the morning when I'm getting into my car for that song to come on. And every time I get in, I go, thank you, Hudson. And thank you, Lord, for creating these guys that became known as the Beatles, who wrote such amazing music that we've all enjoyed probably for most of our life. Or I mentioned the Lord of the Rings. You know, reading through the Lord of the Rings and just marveling at the creativity. And, you know, I was saying earlier in the first service, I was talking about how I was talking to Cheryl about, I wonder if this was all like just in his mind and he just could sit there and just, you know, write it out and it all, or was the story developing as he was writing it? And somebody came up to me afterward and said, hey, have you heard of the Silmarillion? And I said, yes, I've heard of it. And he said, well, it's the backstory of all of that. And he offered to give me the book. And I said, you know what, I just need to get through Lord of the Rings. So I'll figure out the backstory later. But you see, these kinds of things that we can enjoy these things. Just this past week, I watched this great film on Netflix called The Beautiful Game. Anybody see The Beautiful Game? Great film. And it's about soccer or football, as the rest of the world calls it. And it's about the homeless World Cup. So did you know there's a homeless World Cup? There is actually, you know, the World Cup is the big thing in the football world. And so they have a homeless World Cup where homeless people from cities all around the world, they converge on a particular place. In the film, it was Rome. And, you know, it's a story of these homeless people who put together a team and they go and they play football. And, you know, it was one of those films that I just thought, oh, do I want to watch this? And then I decided, as by myself, Cheryl had gone to bed. I thought, okay, I'll watch it. I was so glad I did. I was so delighted at the end of it. It was so delightful. Such a great story. And you know what? Talking about what we were saying earlier about canceling people and being sort of frustrated with people and so forth, you know, there's a lot of people that struggle with homeless people, have problems with what's going on in the culture. Okay, there's problems that need to be addressed and fixed. That's true. But this movie will just remind you that these are people. These are image bearers. These are also ones who are made in the image of God. And so these are the things that we take away from this wonderful teaching of the Imago Dei. And so, as image bearers, there are these three things I want to leave with us. First of all, before we get to the three, the first is that we belong to God. Remember the story in the Gospels where these religious leaders, they come to Jesus with a coin and they're trying to trap him, and they come and they give him a coin and said, should we pay taxes to Caesar or not? Jesus says, well, let's look at the coin. He said, whose image is on this coin? And they said, Caesar's. And he said, right, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and give to God what belongs to God. God's image is stamped on you and me. And so that means, just as that coin belonged to Caesar, that means we belong to God. We belong to God. He stamped his image on us. This is a beautiful truth. And therefore, our identity is in him. Or you think of all the people in the culture today who are having an identity crisis. The answer is you're looking to discover your identity in the wrong place. Your identity is in the one who made you. That's where you will find your true identity. That is where your self-worth will come from. We seek to discover our worth through all different kinds of things. But according to Scripture, you are highly valued simply because you are made in God's image. So we discover our worth, and then we also discover our purpose. God created us with a purpose. He created in His image and according to His likeness with the purpose that He specifically planned for you and me. And so these are the things that we take away from this wonderful truth. And so as we close, every human being bears the image of God, albeit that image is marred because of sin. That we'll talk about that in a couple of weeks. But in Christ, we have the image of God renewed in us. So we're talking about the image of God, and we see faint hints of God's image in human life because of sin. But the amazing thing is one of the things that Jesus is doing is He's recreating us in God's image. Paul says this in writing to the Colossians. He says, the new self, which is the person you become when you receive Christ, is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. So we're being recreated in the image of God when we come to Jesus. And this recreation in God's image is possible because of the cross. So God created humanity in His image and likeness, and God had intentions for humanity, and yet those things were derailed through what we commonly call the fall. We'll get to that in Genesis 3 in a few weeks. But Jesus came to remedy that. And He did so by dying on the cross for our sins that have marred God's image in us. And when we receive Him into our lives, He reverses that process. And today we have the bread and the cup right here before us. And this is a reminder to us of all of that. So what I want us to think about as we share in the bread and the cup today in just a moment, I want us to think about this reality that God created us in His image. And even though sin has marred it, there's still traces of that image in every single person. And yet, as we partake of the bread and the cup today, we rejoice in the fact that through the act that the bread and the cup symbolize, the giving of His life for our sins, the broken body, the shed blood, through that, we are being recreated in God's image. That's what's happening. We are being recreated. And to think about the wonder of that, and to know that God is committed to that recreating of us and molding and shaping us throughout time more and more into the image of His Son. May that be the thing that fills our hearts as we come to the table today.
Back to Basics Radio is offering a book titled The Powers of Darkness and the People of God by Pastor Ryan. With all the chaos, unrest, and uncertainty in our world, behind it all is an unseen realm where a spiritual battle is being waged. And this spiritual battle not only affects the world collectively, but even our lives individually. This month's book, The Powers of Darkness and the People of God by Pastor Brian, will give you an understanding of the battle that is raging behind the scenes. You will understand the enemy who is waging war against you, his tactics, and how you can be equipped to emerge victorious. As people of God, we must be aware of the spiritual battle we're all involved in, the sophisticated ways in which we're constantly being attacked, and the provision for victory we have in Jesus. If you want to be equipped for the spiritual battle we're engaged in, or to be able to help others become equipped, we encourage you to call us right now at 1-800-733-733. 6443 or visit us online at backtobasicsradio.com to order The Powers of Darkness and the People of God by Pastor Brian. And when you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you this book as our way to say thank you. We do appreciate your generous support of this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll continue next time with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together the Story of God series. Basics is the listener-supported preaching and teaching ministry of Pastor Brian Brodersen.